If you were in the military and a member of any unit, one of the most important things that you receive from the commander is the mission of the unit. Everything is geared to the fulfillment of the mission. And everybody, what's impressed is that everybody has to do their part well in order to carry out the mission. Now, that mission is also united to a larger mission. And so, therefore, if the unit itself and its own unit cohesion does not perform its mission, then it jeopardizes the whole plan of action. Mission is not unfamiliar with those in the corporate world, educational institutions, hospitals. In fact, once the mission is established, they will hire individuals to assess mission effectiveness, to make sure that those involved in the corporation, those involved in the educational institution, those involved in the hospitals are carrying out and fulfilling what has been established as the mission of the corporation or the institution. Even in the sports world, they don't necessarily refer to it as a mission, but every coach has a game plan. And he makes sure that all of the players come in and understand this is our game plan. And oftentimes a coach, even when he fails miserably, he won't name the game plan, but what does he say? It's the execution. You didn't carry out your part. We were supposed to be able to stop this person. We were supposed to be able to sack him at least three or four times a day, during the day. And then all of a sudden it didn't happen. He didn't fulfill the game plan. He didn't fulfill the mission. In the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, we had a synod, brought together over 500 delegates from various aspects. And one of the things right away after the synod, what did we do? We established a mission. And like all missions, we argued over every word that went in there. Every word. Because obviously, you can't put a mission in a book because nobody will do it. It has to be succinct. It has to be direct. It has to challenge. And at the same time, it has to form. The mission that we have as a archdiocese and fulfilling the synod was proclaim Christ and make disciples through the sacramental life of the church. Proclaim Christ. It's part of our aspect is this gospel, to be able to proclaim him basically to the world, to make disciples, those who would follow him, dedicate their lives. And they in turn call others and evangelize others. And how are they fed? They're fed through the sacramental life of the church, through the holiness, through the grace-giving activity that God gives, basically, to his church. Mission is extremely important. And the reason I raise it today is because Luke establishes for us, through Jesus' pronouncement, the mission. Mission. Now, those of you who are paying attention to, basically, the gospel, you realize immediately that when you heard the passage from Luke being offered, it was kind of a jump. Luke is kind of introducing the fact that he's going to write a gospel. He says that in the very beginning. But those of you who kind of pay attention to the numbers, you can see that in that passage in particular, it's Luke 1. And then all of a sudden we jump to Luke 4 for this passage. What's happened in between time? The infancy narratives, the temptation in the desert. And now Jesus is coming into the Capernaum synagogue and he's sitting down. It's the key words. Sitting down means he's going to teach. You know, the cathedra, the chair of the bishop of a diocese is the cathedra, is the chair. It's a chair because in that chair, other bishops who are in there, are supposed to teach, instruct, lead, guide, shepherd the diocese. So the authority is found in the aspect that he's now sitting down and unrolling the scrolls. And what do those scrolls contain? The scrolls contain the statement well-known statement from the prophet Isaiah, which announces the kingdom, which announces the mission to people. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, what? To bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to recovery sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Every one of those individuals would have known that's a key statement, it's a key word for the announcement of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now is fulfilled in what? The Son of God. And the interesting thing is at the end of it, he said, today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. So the words of sacred scripture are now fulfilled in a person. And who is that person? The person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The word that has become flesh now fulfills the words of sacred scripture in announcing salvation. If you've spent any time in a foreign country or had the ability to travel in, to a foreign country, you know, we Americans, and most people are the same way, we don't necessarily know the language. We presume everybody will speak English. And so I've seen this oftentimes in the streets of Italy, in Poland, in Paris, that suddenly when you confront someone and you ask them a question in English, which way is it to whatever, you know, the Louvre, which way is it to the Galleria, which way is it, you know, which way is it? And the person who's looking at it is dumbfounded. So what do you do? You take out kind of a dictionary, a book? Do you take out a thing? No. Most Americans will do two things. They will speak slower and they will shout. So they raise their voices and say, which way is it to? And still, the person still doesn't understand. The disposition to receive a message, to receive basically the hearing, must be the fact that you have to understand. You have to be able to speak the language. The Israelites understood this language, the language of the prophet Isaiah. They understood, their disposition was such that they understood that this was a pronouncement, basically, of the kingdom. And so they were dismayed. Some embraced the Lord Jesus Christ because the announcement was made. Others were very skeptical that this man should take authority upon himself that belongs solely to God. When I wrote the pastoral, which was released for the foundation of the synod, I asked a question in that pastoral, who do you say that I am? When you respond to that question, and if the response is, you are the Lord, the Son of the living God, then you better adjust your life accordingly. Because in your own statement of faith, you are saying this is the fulfillment of the gospel. This is the one who is given to us. So I better have a disposition, predispose myself to listen to what God challenges me to do. And he is challenging all of us to fulfill the mission he has given us. And what does that mean? We go to take a look at St. Paul. And St. Paul in Corinthians immediately helps us to understand. It doesn't matter what position that we occupy. No matter what we're called in terms of this life. Doesn't matter. Sure, certainly all of us have ambitions. We'd like to do this. We'd like to do that. But the ultimate is responding to the Lord Jesus and fulfilling our life in the best way possible. Fulfilling our lives in response to Jesus' call for us to be holy in whatever we are doing. And in so doing, we are fulfilling the mission of the body of Christ. We're responding to the Lord Jesus as he has called us to do, and we're doing with our whole heart, mind, and soul. Take a look at the great saints. The great saints, you know, not all of the popes of the 270 some odd popes that were in existence are all saints. But a doorkeeper by the name of Solanus Casey, who was not even allowed to preach, is in heaven, declared by the church. A poor nun with absolutely nothing who went away to put focus on the poorest of the poor will be a saint. Why? Because they were fulfilling to the best of their ability what God had entrusted to them and doing it in a manner which reflected Jesus Christ in their lives. Mothers, fathers, teachers, garbage collectors. Doesn't matter what you're doing. It matters if you understand that all of your life is dedicated to the Lord Jesus in whatever way you're called. Husbands loving their wives. Wives loving their husbands. Mothers and fathers being examples to their children. Fulfilling the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in and through their lives. Being a conduit for others to listen and to be inspired to follow that Jesus, which we know, the person that we know. This week is Christian Unity Week. And so many of the pulpits throughout our archdiocese will be shared in some way by some of the Christian churches in the area. Sometimes there will be joint services. I'll participate in one tonight. It's a statement that we belong to that Christ and we belong to him in a way to fulfill what the Lord has called us to be. And that sometimes the scandal of the cross prevents others from embracing totally Jesus. We cannot be obstacles to hearing the message of the Lord. And we have to reach out with all brothers and sisters who dedicate themselves to following Christ in a very special way. We know that Christ has instituted our church. We know that Christ has given us the Holy Spirit. We know that. But we acknowledge the Spirit is alive outside. We acknowledge those who dedicate themselves to the message of Christ. The unity of Christianity is found in the unity and commitment to Christ. This was also a pro-life week. So in a very particular way, I offer my thanks to those who decided basically to brave the weather in order to go down to Washington, D.C. Now, I don't know whether our Lord had planned it this way, but this was my off year. Normally, I go every other year. This was not the other year. This was the year that I was called to basically stay and to be here to celebrate some of the pro-life activities here in this archdiocese. But there were those that went down. There were those that dedicated themselves. And the beauty of that is they did it for one particular reason, because they were motivated and moved by the Lord Jesus Christ to stand for the most vulnerable among us. Our Lord Jesus Christ has said he has come to proclaim liberty to captives, glad tidings to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. We celebrate with those who, acting upon the person and mission of Jesus Christ, proclaim their witness to him in serving others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.